Jesus wants us to watch him, to look at him. Even if we can't find our way yet to believing in him, oh, we can look at him, we can watch him, and we can see what he does and try to do it. When my son was playing baseball, he had a pitching coach. He was a great young guy. He's a college player. His name, I think, was Rob. And my son just looked up to this guy. He couldn't get enough of this guy. He would teach him once a week the finer points of pitching. Now, it was no way that my son could ever pitch with the velocity that Rob could, that he could pitch as fast. There's no way that he had the skill, the technical ability to make the ball drop the way that Rob did, or rise the way that he did, or curve, or any of those things. And in fact, there were things that Rob would never even try to teach my son how to do, because if he tried it, it would actually hurt his arm. It would have really, really injured him. But still, my son would watch this guy, and man, he would try to just do everything the way that he did it. Wind up the way he did, you know, stand the way he did, all the way down to the way he wore his pants. He wanted to be just like this guy that he looked up to. Well, Jesus, fortunately, doesn't want us to dress like him, but he wants us to be like him. He wants us to look at him, to watch him, to try and do the things that he does, to try to love the way that he does, to try to care for people the way that he did. He wants us to watch him and learn how it is that we can walk through life living in this kingdom of heaven, what he called the kingdom of heaven, being able to see others and see ourselves and see the world the way that God sees it. And he gave this message. He delivered this message as he delivers it to us, but he delivered it to his disciples and to the crowd that would follow him around. And as they followed him around, they began to get the idea that being in this kingdom of heaven was kind of being in a state of expectation, of always expecting or looking for how God was going to show up at any moment, to be looking always for miracles happening in their midst. Now, those miracles, as they happen in our midst too, can come immediately and spectacularly at the speed of light, but those miracles can also come at the speed of life, incrementally, slowly, over a period of time, revealing themselves to us. And in fact, we can be the key to miracles that are unfolding for other people. I mean, God uses us to be the key to miracles that can be occurring in other people's lives. When Jesus was leaving his disciples in the book of John, on the night that he was going to give himself up and die for us, he said to them that they needed to love one another the way that he loved them. That we should love one another the way that Jesus loves us. And being that key to a miracle in someone else's life is one way to look at that, where we can try to be that presence of love, be that presence of hope, be that presence of strength and of healing for people around us, we begin to fall into that groove of loving one another the way that Jesus loved us. And we begin to live moment by moment in that kingdom of heaven. Now, sometimes we may get one moment of that a day, maybe two. I think if we get 3 moments of really living the way that Jesus lived, really being like Jesus, if we're doing 3 moments a day, man, we're getting pretty close to the best we can do. But you know, Jesus asks us to continue to try always, to be the key to that miracle in someone else's life. And this is true whether you're a believer in Jesus today or not. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, and of course, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have to worry about his commands. I mean, you don't have to obey a command from someone that you're not devoted to. But it's still a good recommendation. It's a good way to live your life. It can change your life and maybe even help you understand Jesus a little better. Well, Jesus was certainly the key to many a miraculous moment as he took this journey on what I call this miracle mile, where he is walking with his disciples and miracle after miracle after miracle occur. And in this part of chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, this man comes running up to Jesus just as he's entering Capernaum. Comes running up to Jesus, and he says, "Lord," which was really a big deal. If you called somebody Lord, you're really putting them up there pretty high. This is someone who has a high level of confidence in Jesus. He says, "Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, and he is in terrible suffering." Now, nobody knows exactly what kind of paralysis this was that was causing this suffering, or another way to translate that word is distress. What's causing this terrible distress to this man? But it could be, and just imagine this, it could be that this paralysis that he was experiencing was a degenerative kind of condition that was now affecting the way or his ability to breathe. If you can imagine that, that's awfully distressing, causes an awful lot of suffering. Well, this man says to Jesus, "I have this servant. He's lying at home paralyzed. He's in terrible suffering." And Jesus, it's really cool, immediately he says, "Well, I will go and heal him." But the man who has come to ask, the man who has this need, the man who comes with this great plea, answers Jesus in a way that delights Jesus. It just really makes Jesus' day, the way that he answers Jesus' statement. He says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof." In other words, "Jesus, you don't even have to go anywhere. You can just stay right there. There's no point in you coming all the way to my house. Instead, just say the word, and my servant will be healed." This man believes, he has such confidence in Jesus, that he believes that he can heal. He can do this amazing miracle from afar, that all he needs to do is say the word. And the cool thing is, this man believes this about Jesus. He sees this ability in Jesus because of his own experience in his life. Because get this, he is a centurion. He's a Roman centurion. He is a guy who is in charge of a division of 100 men in the Roman army. So he's basically saying, "Look, man, I'm a guy who has authority over other people, and it really takes one to know one. I believe, Jesus, that you have authority, that you have great authority. I have authority over a few men, but you have authority over everything, over the elements, over disease. You can do this thing without even moving from where you are." And Jesus is delighted at the confidence, at the faith that this man has. When Jesus heard this, it says, he was astonished. And then he said to those who were following him, and don't miss this, he says, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." And this was an astounding statement for Jesus to make. This blew the minds, I'm sure, of the people in the crowd who were watching him. Blew the minds, I'm sure, of even his disciples. Because what Jesus is saying here in this little statement is that even the people of Israel, the people of Israel, the race that God had chosen to be his model people, the people who had known God the longest, had the greatest experience with God, the people who you would think would have the most confidence, the most faith in God, were being out-faithed by this guy, this man who is a Roman centurion. He is of a different race. He's a Gentile. He's not even Jewish. He's of a despised class of people. Remember, these are the people who are enforcing Roman rule over Jesus' own people. He's of a completely different culture. For all they know, he's of a different creed, a whole different religion. He probably doesn't even know anything about the one true God. He probably, if anything, worships the panoply of all those Roman gods that people were into in those days. But listen, all of those differences that make such a difference to those people who are listening and watching and who are shocked makes no difference to Jesus. Those differences don't make any difference to Jesus. The only thing that Jesus cares about, the difference for Jesus, the only thing that makes a difference is this man's faith. And Jesus blows right by race. He blows right by class and creed and culture and addresses this man's need. And you know, in these days, as we're experiencing things in our country right now, that may be one of the most important ways that we can be like Jesus today. To examine the differences and whether or not they really make a difference to us. See, we focus on differences a lot as people. We do. We categorize each other. We divide each other by race and by creed and by culture and by class. We divide ourselves up. We look at those things. And, you know, it's true that those things exist, right? We don't want to deny that. There are real differences between us. We don't have the same interests. We don't have the same goals. Our cultures are very different. We live in a world of great variety. But here's the thing that Christians have to understand and get in our hearts. Those differences don't make any difference to God. And to the extent that we let those differences make a difference to us, we're really standing in the way. We're really standing aside, standing in the way of Jesus' vision for how we ought to be. And not only that, to the extent that we let those differences make a difference to us, make a difference as to who we will love and who we will not love, well, we slide away from living in that kingdom of heaven. And we also deny some very fundamental kingdom facts. First being that all people, regardless of race or creed or culture or class, are made in the image of God. Says so in Genesis, doesn't it? God created mankind in His image. In His image He created him, male and female. He created them. We're all created in God's image, and as such, as human beings, we are given unique gifts that we all share. Regardless of any other differences, we all share the ability to reason, to understand that we exist, and then ponder our place in the world. We're given the gift of speech by which we're able to communicate our experiences and the way that we feel and what we see around us to each other. We're given the gift uniquely among all of God's creation, the gift of imagination, where we can look around and see what we want the world to be for us and begin to shape that world for ourselves. We're given that gift, and we're given the gift, I think most of all, we're given the gift, and this goes across the board, all people, this gift of wanting to connect with God, to want to connect with the transcendent, that gift that makes us want to be better, that makes us want to be better people. We share that with all people, regardless of race or class or creed or culture. We share these things. We share together that we're image bearers of God's image. But listen, we also share our sin. Regardless of race, regardless of class or culture or creed, we all share in our sin. There is not a single person on this earth that can escape the pride and the self-righteousness that leads to prejudice and bigotry. There isn't any one of us that can escape the disregard that we sometimes feel for others that is really at the root of all kinds of evil. There's no way that we can escape that sometimes we can be cruel, that sometimes we can be cruel and even enjoy it, that sometimes we can dishonor others and derive a perverse sort of satisfaction or feeling of superiority from it. Listen, we're all united. We're all equal in our sin. But praise God, right? Praise God that as we are equal, as image bearers, as we are equal in being sin-soaked people, we are also united in our need of salvation and our access to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. No matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we have done, we are all in need of salvation and have access to that salvation, that life-changing salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what He has given to us. And listen, that means there is no real division between any one of us. The only division that really exists is between those who are saved by faith and, listen, those who are on the way. And to the extent that we let, as Christians, any differences make such a difference to us that we will not reach across any of those petty boundaries to love others the way that God has loved us with this offer of salvation, to the extent that we do that, we are standing in the way. We are standing in the way of Jesus' vision, where there is no division. There is no division. After Jesus said to the centurion, he praised the centurion and said, man, this is the guy who's got the faith. This is the one we should all be looking at. He said to him, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. And Scripture says his servant was healed at that very hour. Despite all those differences, it was faith that made the difference. But Jesus also went on to cast this vision before the people who were listening and for you and I. He said, I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west. Many will come from the east and from the west, from all corners of the earth, from all races, from all creeds, from all cultures, from all classes. They will come and they will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus' vision, that indeed all of those differences disappear because we're focused on the things that unite us, the need that binds us, our common need for salvation, and the gift of that salvation to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. Well, next week, we're going to continue on this miracle mile with Jesus. We're going to be looking at just how far He is willing to go to show us what is possible in this world. But this week, make it your business, not make it my business, to really think about those differences that exist between us and how they may be actually affecting us, how much of a difference they may be making to us. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you may be holding a certain kind of prejudice or reluctance to engage with a certain kind of person, and then turn from that. Ask the Lord to give you power to love others the way He loves us, to cast and to live into His vision of where there is really no division between us. Amen.